So would you introduce yourselves, please?
My name's Eleanor.
And I'm Jason.
But you don't spell your name normally.
No.
And yet that's Ohio-based, so what happened there?
It's actually New York area-based, my grandmother's spelling of the name.
Oh, give me the 60 seconds from your perspective, not the damn bio, about what this thing you created is.
I think it's, for both of us, it's like an exciting departure from where we had been before. You know, it's like a, I don't know, it's different. The whole experience has been really different. And I think that,
No, I think what she means is that, we've both, while doing this band, we've learned a lot about, things that beep and electronics and stuff that we had never worked with before. So it's kind of weird being in a band that is so based in that, and for both of us is something that we've never really played with before. We both come from more traditional live musician backgrounds.
People hear Brooklyn now, and Brooklyn's kind of like, it's like Silver Lake and Williamsburg, and the rest of the continent is tilted in a different place, right?
Well, it's funny, because I moved to New York before there were New York bands like that. I moved in the mid-90s, and it felt like for almost like a 10-year period, there just weren't bands in New York. I just didn't really think about it. But there were all these like really great dance parties that everyone was going to. There were like mainly 60s mod type things, and all the people who ended up being in bands in that first Brooklyn wave, like 2001, were all the people that I would see out at those parties. So it just kind of like happened all at once, and then it kind of felt like everything was dying down, and I moved to Berlin for a year and a half and I thought it was over, and then I came back and apparently it's now even bigger than before.
So again, we're not going to go for the name. Anybody can go there and find the clip that you recently put on your site so people can figure it out. But I wanted to have some fun with this. Is it because the music business is a battle, or because you're history buffs?
I think it's more because we're history buffs.
Yeah,
but we didn't give it.
A little nerdy about history.
Yeah. We just sort of opened up a book when we were trying to come up with a name, and that jumped out at us. And I think we did like, and I guess this is kind of like the music business, we liked that it was like a really heroic stance in ultimately a total failure.
A grand failure,
That could be the all the
failure, which is kind of like
where you're planning. Is that kind of where you're planning on going? If it doesn't work, the second album could be called A Grand and Tragic Failure.
It could be.
Or it's a great name for a band, actually. The label / you, but I suspect it's the label because they were teasing me. You have a whole marketing plan behind this band, and you did things. You started very organically, though. Because you put out a single, you put out a 7-inch, which is old school, and then I just recently read. The 6-track EP is the more ethereal, gauzy side of our taste, the summertime gothic and dreamy tracks we made thinking they'd go well with open hydrants and looks that kill. You create the 7-inch. This introduces people to a sound, which does kind of, I listened to the whole thing on the way here, and I've listened to it multiple times, and it does pull through, and there is a point of view here. But you are doing the EP first, so is this all you, or sitting down with the label? What was the big theory behind all of this, if any?
We just spent a lot of time writing, like during the, right about at the moment that we were signing to Warp, we were just writing like mad. We ended up writing 20 songs, and we pulled together a group of them as the record, and then we had a bunch left that felt like they were their own thing and kind of fit together and had their own logic and feeling and. So that's what the EP turned out to be.
Yeah, we wrote a bunch of tracks all at the same time, and we recorded a lot of them ourselves, but then we went to go and work with some producers to finish everything up. And so even as we were finishing them, we knew which songs were the EP songs and which were the album songs. And it just kind of allowed us to let some, like the EP songs, go in a different direction instead of trying to force them to be the album.
You both had Anglophile dads. Now, But what's really interesting about that, right, is that if you read it really fast, you're thinking, oh, well, their dads came from the UK. But that's not what it says. It says you both had Anglophile dads. One of the things that you said, and I agree with you, we're Americans, but you play in front of them Americans, and they sit there and go, oh, they're playing. And yet the perception of the Brits is that would be the perception. But the Brits are the ones who really get excited about music. And we Americans are about as jaded as can get, right?
Yeah. Well, for one thing, my dad's an Anglophile because I'm from South Africa. And my dad really thought he was English. He you know, grew up following the English football team, Manchester United as well. And so that's where my Anglophileness comes from. But the first time I went and played in England, it seemed immediate to me. Like, the big difference to me is that in America, if a band's got a hype behind it, people are really skeptical. They go to the shows thinking, like, this isn't going to be good. And they're waiting, you know, for that experience. And in England, they just want Beatlemania again. They just want it to be exciting. So they arrive, like, really hopeful and just like, this is going to be fantastic. And then if they don't like it, they turn on you fast. But
well, also, I mean, I think in the past couple of days, we've been kind of looking specifically at our relationship to English music or whatever, and coming up with a list of bands that we like that are English. And it's like, we couldn't stop thinking of bands that were English. There's just so many. There's so much really amazing music that's come out of England that, you know, it's a tiny country. It's not a big place. And so, like, and so much stuff came out of there. It's kind of crazy. So, I, you know.
When we were putting all these videos together, the Trogs was the one that I got excited about.
Okay. So, producer, Richard X.
We only did four songs with Richard, but when we write, we record as we're doing it. And so, when we went to Richard and we went to Eric Brusek in Brooklyn and Chris Zane, and they used a lot of what we had recorded on our own, and it was just kind of going through. And with Richard, it was particularly like he's got a great sense of how to rearrange little details and move things around. And then we just replaced all the instruments that we could. We re-recorded them pretty quickly and not very well, just to go a little further with them. And also, because it's just two of us, it's nice to have someone else there to help settle the arguments.
So I happen to know that you are both pretty definitive in your thinking. I hear that as a rumor, so that may make the creative process kind of, let's see, what's the word we'll use? Intriguing.
It's a little fiery sometimes. I think that we both have really strong opinions, but we're both perfectionists, I think. But, you know, I don't know. Isn't that the case with everybody who's trying to make something? Is you've got a lot of emotion and passion involved in it.
It definitely gets contentious sometimes, but I think it's because now, both of us are used to being the only writer, and like up until we started working together, we were the only one we had to listen to. But we also come from really different backgrounds, and I think that a lot of times that's where the argument is sort of going.
And you're using this modern world we live in well. You're not just like, ooh, we want to gather email. You've really, you know, you call your website a zine.
Yeah, we had aspirations for it when we started too. Like we thought we were going to have a periodical that we would put out like four times a year. We would.
Oh, real zine.
Yeah, real zine.
Yes.
But
That's very ambitious.
It proved to be a little bit beyond our means.
We're still trying. We're, you know, it's been a really busy year, but we would still really like to have it be a proper zine.
But new wave meets disco, block party, blah, blah, blah. Good, bad, annoying. Isn't there a better way? In the old days, nobody said, you know, the Beatles sound just like the Beatles.
Yeah, and Block Party is a funny one too, because
I
get it now, but I had never heard the song that they're talking about.
Oh, there's one song.
There's one song that it has like a stabby guitar that kind of sounds like Dresden.
One song. So that defines your band.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. I think it's obviously there's a lot of similar reference points that people have been pointing to for the last like 10, 11 years. And obviously they like some of the same stuff, I would imagine.
People come to see you, and even if they really, assuming that nobody's getting away with being evil with this whole thing here, a lot of the songs they're hearing for the first time.
It's frustrating. We're both looking forward to the point when people actually
that song. It's
because we, you know, and when we make the mistake of saying this song is called, and then there's crickets because no one's heard the song.
I was gonna say, I think it's, you know, it's harder, but you learn a lot about the songs just from watching an audience that doesn't know anything about it interact with it. You learn about the song, but you also learn about how you're presenting the song to them and what.
Which would be great if we were still writing and recording them. We could actually use that information. I mean, the nice thing about live for us is that there's a lot more guitar when we play live, and there's a lot more, like, it pushes into a noisier place. that's more fun. You know, like we're recording, we try and be really clean and precise with it.
We do a thing called a musical sandwich, and it's two of your songs as the bread, and then songs by anybody else you want to play in between.